Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to this fine program across the civic media airwaves here in the state of Wisconsin, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. For Mad Radio 92.7 FM WMDX 1580 AM, and around the state on your local civic media radio stations like locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids and so many more, go check out the website civicmedia.us to see all of the fine coverage patterns we have here at Civic Media. It's a Friday afternoon, and I'm joined by William Walter for a little Wednesdays with Will on a Friday, the pre-weekend edition. Will, how you doing,
my friend? The absolute best kind of Wednesdays are always on a Friday.
Except when your Friday is a Wednesday. That's actually better, because then you got, like, what, a four-day weekend coming up? That means if Wednesday is your Friday?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
I never looked at it that way, but that's kind of profound.
That might be better.
You just changed the game.
I was going to say, yeah, I think it's better when a Friday is a Wednesday, but that's okay, because we're going to have an excellent show today, and we're really excited to kick around a few headlines, share our tangents, and have a little back and forth. I think we've got some arguing to do potentially here, Will, and arguing in the fun sense of the word, not really at each other's throats, but just making the case for which side's
a
little bit better.
Oh, I got to put this pitchfork away. Okay. Go ahead.
My tiki torch was put out before the start of the show. But folks, if you want to share a tangent with us here on a Friday afternoon, 844-967-2789. And let's start where I thought we were going to get to a little bit later, but we've bumped it up into the show because I think it is an excellent topic of what is the most Wisconsin headline in the news this week. And Will, I've got three contenders. And if anybody out there in the listening audience wants to submit another one, they can try. But I think these are the top three, and we're going to argue which one is the most Wisconsin headline throughout the first portion of this show. So let's dive right into it. Will, you want to share yours from over at the Journal Sentinel?
I think this is a two-way race. First of all, in our little FMK version of Wisconsin headlines from the week, but I would like to nominate a story from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Laura Schulte: beer and booze delivered to your home. It's possible under a new bill in the state legislature. Of course, I have to nominate home delivered alcohol, because what is more Wisconsin than I'm having trouble getting access to my alcohol? Can someone please bring it to my front porch? Now, of course, the very first thing that came to my mind was, how do you verify age? Because that's going to be a really big issue with this. And evidently the Tavern League agrees with me, which is usually a statement that I don't find myself like saying or being proud of. But this is bipartisan. I do want to point that out. The bill's authors are Dewey Strobel and Kel DeRoy. So this has, as well as Cindy Ducow and Lakeisha Myers, my apologies. So this does have a pretty broad support. Evidently, Wisconsin's only one of only eight states in the country that prohibit online orders, which seems very un-Wisconsin.
No. I think that's it's like one of those things where the state of Wisconsin is also one of the ones that cuts you off at 9 p.m. to purchase alcohol. It's very on-brand when we get restricted, because those restrictions are in place for a reason, Will.
It's like when when Philadelphia is in a championship game,
and they
my
start
apologies
yeah,
for
they
these
start
last three for three major sports in the past year, Philly fans. But the city is like, guys, we got to do something to curb this, or we're going to lose our city tonight.
No, they grease the lampposts in anticipation. It's very similar to that, where they put rules and guidelines in place, like not selling alcohol beyond 9 p.m. and here in Wisconsin, and greasing the lampposts in Philadelphia so people don't climb them.
We can't trust our citizens, so we have to prepare accordingly.
Kind of, which is, I find this an interesting one because this is very, I will agree, it's very Wisconsin. I don't know if it's the most Wisconsin headline this week, but the fact that we currently don't have a setup for individuals to have, we're one of eight states that don't allow you to have alcohol delivered, is pretty interesting. I feel like most Wisconsinites are very well stocked up, though, and they don't really need it delivered. They just have the stockpile at their houses, and so I question.
When you have a full bar in your basement, it's hard not to be stocked.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. So I don't know if it's necessarily needed, but it's interesting to see the bipartisan support behind this proposal. And we'll continue on with that piece, but I want to jump over to my nominee of the most Wisconsin headline I saw this week with over at the Wisconsin State Journal, written up by Barry Adams. Wisconsin places 9 cheeses into the top 20 at the U.S. Championship Cheese Contest. So almost 50% of the top 20 entries for best cheeses in the country, Wisconsin's got just shy of 50%. I think that's the most Wisconsin story this week, Will, because they're raking in the gold medals, too, outside of the top 20. They had the most gold medals in this competition. Got to go a little farther down into the Barry piece at the Wisconsin State Journal. But featuring total in the competition, it was a 3-day competition earlier this week, 2,249 entries from 35 states. But as usual, Wisconsin dairy producers once again crushed the competition. They took first place in 50 of the 113 categories and swept the top three spots in 22 of those categories. So that's got to be
thinking
Wisconsin.
Those Wisconsin cows heard those California cows are happy commercials and were like, hold up, I have something to say about that.
Exactly. So I think this is the most Wisconsin headline, just raking in the gold medals at the U.S. competition for cheese making. Come on, Will.
I want to point out, first of all, it wasn't just cheese. It was the nation's premier technical cheese, butter, yogurt, and dairy product competition. So it was all the above. And this is a very, very Wisconsin story as well, Luke. I'll grant you that. I mean, this is 1 and 1A, right? Both of these stories are very Wisconsin. But I had to go with the beer one.
Hang on. You could agree that mine is 1A? Is that what you just said? This is 1A?
This is 1A. Well, I mean, I said it from the get-go that this was a two-horse race. The third story was not even close, in my opinion. But
well, it's an honorable mention.
I had to go with the beer story.
The third story is an honorable mention because it's not really a story. It's more of an interaction, and we'll get to that. But you really think the deliverable alcohol is more on brand for Wisconsin? Wisconsin is lagging in it.
It's the very first line of the Wisconsin State Journal article. Wisconsin cheesemakers not only dominated the preliminary rounds of the U.S. Championship Cheese Contest, but will also have a good chance of winning it all, although the defending champ from Ohio also made the cut. Come on, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
A good chance of winning it all. This is our shtick, man. Beer, brats, and cheese. If we can't have this, what can... Ohio? Come on, Ohio?
I did. That raised an eyebrow for me. But you're telling me that Wisconsin becoming the 43rd state to pass deliverable alcohol is a more Wisconsin story than Wisconsin raking in all these gold medals for cheese?
Look, man, I'm all about the W's, okay? And I see defending champ from Ohio. I just can't get over that we couldn't beat Ohio. Now, you did note New York, Pennsylvania, and Ohio each put 2 entries in the finals. Well, Wisconsin did have 9. So, like, from 30,000 feet, we had
We got the best chance.
But, man, I got to know what that one individual guy in Ohio is doing. And why hasn't the state of Wisconsin, like, recruited this guy? Like, this dude needs to be living in Ashwaubenon or something. Like, come on.
Maybe there's the ploy to do that. But competition is healthy, but I think I like the odds when 9 of the 20 entries are here in our home state. And I think that makes it the most Wisconsin story I've seen this week.
Hey, if you want to be the best, Luke, you got to beat the best. And right now, we can't beat Ohio.
Last year, we didn't beat Ohio. We'll have to wait to see.
Last year, we couldn't
beat
Ohio.
We'll have to wait to see. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday afternoon by William Walter. You're listening to the program across Civic Media. If you want to share a tangent, maybe a different story even of what you believe was the most Wisconsin story you saw this week. 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number. But, Will, an honorable mention, because it's pretty Wisconsin as well, and I just thought the entire interaction online was just too funny not to share. And so Green Bay Packer, Devondre Campbell, linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. We're in the offseason. No more football for quite a few months now. We're going to get a draft, I guess, in, what, 2 months? And there will be a lot of talk about that. The Aaron Rodgers watch 2023 is still going on. He came out of his dark cave. But this is probably...
Which was the top story, one of the top stories on ESPN, Luke. I want to point out how weird that is.
It's very weird. It's very, very weird. But I think this interaction is just very funny because Green Bay, it's pretty cold right now. A lot of the Packers decide to go elsewhere during the offseason. They're on vacation. They're going to warmer destinations. But Devondre Campbell, linebacker for the Green Bay Packers, tweeted out earlier this week, "I finally went to the Hy-Vee in Green Bay for the first time. Easily the best grocery store I've ever seen in my life. I am going to think of a reason to go back again later today." And then Keyshawn Nixon, member of the Green Bay special teams, said, responded to the tweet, "Bro, go on vacation." And then Rasul Douglas, also on the defense, quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, said, like, "Why is he still there, bro?" with the laughing so hard they're crying emoji. And I think that this is just a very wholesome Wisconsin story, and seeing an interaction from the Green Bay Packers that deserved at least an honorable mention with our beer delivery and cheese making gold medalists this week for the most Wisconsin that I've seen. But again, folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by William Walter on a Friday afternoon. If you want to share those tangents before the weekend, 844-967-2789. We'll continue this debate and get to a few more Wisconsin headlines and a conversation about the politics unfolding in Ohio right now. 844-967-2789. Will, I think I won. I think the cheese story is the most Wisconsin.
Until they can take home that championship, I don't even want to hear about it, okay? This is a state of winners.
So the Packers just shouldn't come back either until they bring a Lombardi back?
Yeah. Folks, we're going to take that route. I got to take that route, then. I got to be consistent, sure.
You're listening to Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back.
He's in charge. Boss, head man, top dog. Big cheese, a head honcho.
Captain!
Looks like somebody forgot there's a rule against alcoholic beverages.
Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday afternoon by William Walter. You can join us on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. Let us know what you think the most Wisconsin headline you saw this week was. Either Will's entry, the potential for alcohol to be delivered through a bipartisan bill making its way through the Wisconsin legislature right now, making the state the 43rd state to allow something like that. I do want to point that out. I think that's why it's not the most Wisconsin. Because
I liked beer. I still like beer.
Settle down, Brett.
Was that you or was that Evan?
Oh, that was Ev. Ev is always on top of that. Yeah,
he was hiding back there. He turned his camera off, so I didn't know for sure that was him or not. I think that makes it the... It's a very Wisconsin story, but it's not the most Wisconsin story. My entry being Wisconsin just raking in the gold medals and having 9 of the top 20 entries for best cheese in the United States. I think that's the most Wisconsin story, but
I can't get over that we lost to Ohio. And I would like to edit my argument from before the break. The Packers did in fact beat the Browns on Christmas Day 2021 by 2 in a very close game that probably shouldn't have been that close, but We did beat Ohio, okay? So they can stay because they didn't lose to Ohio. It's really, I just don't want to lose to Ohio.
The 2021-2022 season, I believe we beat Cincinnati, but that was the game as well there. There was a bunch of back and forth.
Like missed five missed kicks end. Yeah.
And I think a decent record. Let's not talk about the Badgers in Ohio State, though. That will be not as good of a record, but I think that you can't expect the state to win every single first place cheese medal every single year. The competition is healthy. I think though the fact that there are so many gold medals being won in all the different categories, and we have almost 50% of the entries for the top cheese, the big dog, that's the most Wisconsin headline.
I don't know, man. Like when your state is. You have a thing that you are so known for that the rest of the world recognizes it. Like, have you seen those Twitter stories about when college students are vacationing in the Caribbean or in Mexico or something, and there's drinking competitions and they're not allowed to compete if they have a Wisconsin driver's license? That kind of story. Like we are so known for beer and cheese that if we can't even take that home, I also do want to give a shout out. I went back to verify a little bit on the Devondre Campbell story, right? So Devondre Campbell went to school in Minnesota. He's prepared.
He's a gopher.
He's a gopher. He understands this weather. He knows what it's like. And Green Bay is obviously beautiful. Go talk to AJ Dillon about that.
Yeah.
The guy has embraced the Green Bay
narrative. I'm surprised. He's probably up in Door County, though, right now.
He's in Door County for sure.
That's his vacation spot. He just goes up Highway 57? He just goes up Highway 57 and is spending a bunch of time in the Door County.
Keyshawn Nixon's from California.
So that's why he's gone.
And understandable. Rasul Douglas was born in New Jersey and went to college in West Virginia. So like...
Hit or miss.
But from a weather perspective, they're all making plenty of money. Wisconsin's nicer than West Virginia. Come on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, but I think Wisconsin's the best state in the union, but... The fact is, after you've played a professional season of football, why would you not go? I'm sure football players all over the country are going to warmer weather and enjoying their off seasons. Apparently not Devondre Campbell, though, and I thought it was a very Wisconsin story because I saw a lot of news about that Hy-Vee opening up in Green Bay. Like it was a big deal, and so the fact that Devondre was up there too and enjoying it.
Did you see the comments on the tweet? Yeah, people are all saying like, to be fair, bro, Hy-Vee is crazy.
Yeah. So I, to each their own, and that's how he's spending his offseason. Let's work a little Wisconsin headline into this segment. One of the things bouncing back, also very on brand for Wisconsin, like our Green Bay Packers, our alcohol consumption and our cheese making. Wisconsin tourism. The industry is recovering faster than its neighboring states, but still struggling post-pandemic. This is a story I found, Will, over at WPRs.com, written up by Gabby Vinnick, and talking about how Wisconsin's tourism is bouncing back, getting back to the 2019 levels. We're doing better than our neighboring states, and I think it's important to point out that tourism is the state's, I believe, third largest
industry. That's what stunned me. I would not have thought that.
Yeah. So the fact that the Northwoods, the Wisconsin Dells, the Lake Michigan, the Mississippi River, we get a lot of tourism here in our state, and we are doing better than our neighbors when it comes to returning to pre-pandemic levels for what this industry is bringing into the state. So I think that's another thing to applaud, along with the cheesemaking potential for at-home delivery for alcohol, and interaction among the Green Bay Packers players.
So I think these stories kind of intertwine. When the average American thinks of, you know, like going up north and going fishing up north in the pristine, beautiful, uninhabited woods, I think Wisconsin's probably one of the first places that come to mind, right? I mean, Wisconsin residents, particularly of southern Wisconsin, still think that too. There's a certain mystique to northern Wisconsin. And I feel like I saw videos years and years ago about like Amazon delivery drones, and they were first testing this delivering of beer to ice fishers, shanties, type of thing. Like, right, you're out on the lake and you're like, boy, I could use a beer, but I don't want to leave the fishing hole. What do I do? So you would you would buzz into Amazon and they would have your local bar use one of the Amazon drones, pick up a six pack, fly it out over the lake and drop it to you. But I mean, this was a couple of years ago.
You gotta be careful with the dropping of them if they're bottles. But yeah, that sounds vaguely familiar, but everything's related. That's why we talk about these things here on Dueling Tangents. Folks, that's what you're listening to. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday by William Walter. And you can join us on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. We're going to dive into a couple more updates about East Palestine, Ohio, coming up in the next segment. But plenty of time for your tangents. 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back. Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday afternoon by William Walter. You on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. You're listening across Civic Media here in Madison for Mad Radio 92.7, the Shaw in Waukesha, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, and so many more. Go to the website, civicmedia.us. You can see the entire coverage map. You can see all the programming that we put out as well as a network. You can sign up to learn more. But, Will, we're discussing here the most Wisconsin headline you've seen this week. You're sticking to your guns with the on-brand for the potential for alcohol delivery here in Wisconsin. Bipartisan bill. We don't see those all too often. They're not as common as we would like to see around here.
But... You know, too, you're saying that we're one of eight states that do not currently have this, which is accurate. I think that's a benefit to why this story is more Wisconsin, because it's saying, Wisconsin, what are you doing? Like, how are you serious? Like, I'm more, so I think I'm more embarrassed by that than losing to Ohio.
I don't know. You seem pretty adamant about losing to Ohio last year in the cheese making contest. I don't even know if we took second. I don't even know if we took second, though. So we could have been behind another state, too. Who knows? I'll have to look up the 2022 winners and we'll have to see.
What you don't know off the top of your mind? Were you not following?
Did you hear how many stations I just listed off for Civic Media? Come on, man. I've been busy. We're a busy team over here at Civic Media.
I don't think we gave credit either. I believe the championship itself is quite literally hosted in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I believe it's up in the Green Bay area.
Yeah, the Resch Expo Center.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So our friends up at WGBW listening on air there in this competition right in your backyard. And I believe that's the most Wisconsin headline. Also, the interaction the Green Bay Packers. I almost said Wisconsin Badgers, but Green Bay Packers had about a trip Devondre Campbell took to the new Hy-Vee in Green Bay. I think that's pretty on brand as well. There's a little Iowa into that story, though. Hy-Vee, I believe, is an Iowa-based grocery store. So maybe not the most Wisconsin story when you take that into account. But let's head over to the phone lines because we got some callers calling in now, maybe sharing their opinion on what the most Wisconsin headline they saw was this week. We got Dick and Madison calling in. Dick, what's on your mind today?
Oh, it's more of a rant. Once again, proving how Donald Trump gets everything wrong. I remember reading about his wine that he had years back and that it was just awful. It was catamount to vinegar with red dye in it and maybe 6 months old at best. But then he gives you aged water. Yeah, I thought it was wine you were supposed to age and water supposed to be fresh. This guy is a piece of work. But no, I agree with you guys about Wisconsin too, and the place to go, or when you think of going north to go fishing and all the rest, or Minnesota. But for a real good friend of mine, I always good naturedly, you know, when are you going to take that 10,000 lakes off your license plate? He goes, why? I said, well, the only reason you have 10,000 is you guys count every roadside puddle. I mean, there's at least 10,000 lakes in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it's more, actually. I believe Wisconsin has more lakes than Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we got 14,000 roughly.
I really got a kick out of this week, Trump on that ridiculous tour down there. First of all, I don't even know why anybody covers it. He's not president. And he really had no business going there.
Well, he's got all the time on his hands in the world, Dick. And we're going to get into a little debate between Will and I. And I apologize to cut you off there, Dick. We're going to talk about that, but let's squeeze in one more caller before we jump to that tangent. We got Annie in Watertown calling in. Annie, what's on your mind today?
Maybe there's a lot of people coming to Wisconsin because they heard what the Republicans have been doing and they're afraid there won't be such a nice place to visit coming up. But I'm confused. I don't know. Was it big government taking over? Because in the late 70s, we used to have deliveries in Watertown. I don't know. The liquor store and the cab service were sort of out of the same building or business. And we used to get a case of Leinenkugels delivered to our place a couple times a week.
That sounds unheard of to me, Annie. I don't know when it would have went out of style then, or what law was passed to prevent it. But in Colorado once on vacation, I was in a liquor store purchasing some alcohol, and there was a drive-through window. So individuals could just drive up to the liquor store in Colorado and get what they wanted, just hand it to them through the window. They put it in the back of the car and they leave. So there's some interesting things that states do out there. And this would be apparently something Wisconsin would be catching up to other states, being one of only 8 that don't allow for it. But speaking of the tourism, more people coming to Wisconsin, I don't think it's that they want to get here before Republicans ruin it all. I'm not going to say that tourism industry is just going to falter if Republican control takes over. We have a Republican-led legislature. I think it just goes to show that the efforts put by the Evers administration, our governor here in Wisconsin, to make sure that tourism, being the third largest industry in the state, bouncing back to the pre-pandemic levels at the rate that they have, just goes to show the work that he's been doing is working, because he's been allocating grants, he's been focusing on small businesses, and trying to make sure that from the bottom up, we have a bounce back here in Wisconsin to get back to where we were before the pandemic. We appreciate you.
That's a great point, Luke. His proposed budget looks to secure $33.6 million in state funding for marketing to promote the state, as well as investing $30 million to recruit large-scale events to Wisconsin. I mean, you know, we can discuss the merits of whether we want the RNC here, but at the end of the day, that's going to be a massive financial influx into the city of Milwaukee. You know, the Dem convention in 2020, obviously COVID ruined that, unfortunately, particularly for me as a delegate. I think that would have been a lot of fun in my home state. But
you're not bitter
at all.
A
lot of money coming to the town, like, you know, you can't put a price on that.
Yeah,
you could, but it's hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah. So metaphorically, you can't put a price on that, I guess.
Yeah, the people find a way to put a price tag to it. But the something else that people have been finding out what the price tag will be, because there's a lot of cleanup efforts now underway in Ohio. But East Palestine, Ohio, where this train derailment happened, the governor, Mike DeWine, I believe is DeWine is the last name. I believe his first name.
Mike DeWine.
Pretty much authorized the control burn that occurred of the chemicals on the train to prevent a giant explosion that would have been even more catastrophic. Initially would not accept federal help, and I believe still has not declared an official emergency there in East Palestine. But, Will, a lot of people are discussing the politics of how this is going to unfold, and in preparing for the show today, for Dueling Tangents, which, folks, you are listening to across Civic Media, I'm Luke Mathers, joined by William Walter on this Friday afternoon. As we prepared for the show, you and I kind of are coming at this from two different angles, because I don't know if the scale of the response that you think there should have been is necessarily what was required for this situation. You... noting Donald Trump, as Dick mentioned in an earlier call, traveled to East Palestine earlier this week and was seen at a McDonald's throwing out Make America Great Again hats and visiting the town of about 5,000 and claiming that, well, it's this terrible thing the Biden administration did. Terrible, terrible thing. And really, I think it's interesting how this is being covered, because I don't think it's the giant shining example that Trump's going to be able to use to get reelected. But you have a different perspective, Will.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of modern politics today is it's PR, right? It's media relations. It's how you're able to build your brand as a politician. And I'm seeing it throughout conservative accounts on Twitter, both in terms of Wisconsin employed, you know, with GOP type conservative accounts as well as national accounts that, oh, Donald Trump went to East Palestine. Where's Biden? Where's Biden? Where's Biden type deal. Trump's going to McDonald's. He's like you said, he's tossing around signed hats. He's being funny again when he comes up to the register and says, I know this menu better than you do. Like average Americans are going to see that and be like, oh, he's just like me. He's a regular Joe. There was that clip of, Trump surrounded by reporters in East Palestine and you hear, we love you, President Trump, behind him. Now, East Palestine, I do believe voted about 70% for Donald Trump. So that would be considered a pretty safe community from an electoral perspective. But I think you can't undervalue the optics of just being there, because most Americans, you know, people like you and I and people who follow Dueling Tangents, we have a pretty good grasp on why this situation occurred, essentially deregulation that the Trump administration was one of the single biggest driving forces of. But if the average American doesn't know that, all they're going to see is, why did this former president show up to this catastrophic ecological disaster while the current president is nowhere to be seen? I think it's a really, really bad look.
And do you think that the president has to go to every single train derailment? Like, this is a travesty for the community of East Palestine, Ohio. This is a tragedy, and it should not have happened. But do you think it's the responsibility of the president to go and attend to the? In my opinion, there's not a whole lot. Yes, it would be PR. It would be a media visit for the president to go and respond there. But it doesn't mean that the Biden administration is any less serious about addressing what led to this instance and the cleanup of it, whether or not Biden goes.
You know, again, you're not wrong in the sense that if the sitting U.S. president were to go to every single train derailment across the United States, they literally could not do anything else. We have thousands of train derailments every year, multiple a day. This would be the entirety of their schedule.
They've increased as well in recent years since regulations were rolled back during the Trump administration. So there's been even more of them.
Yeah, and that doesn't play well for the argument of American infrastructure needs help, so maybe let's do something about this. But this situation is unique because of the attention that this story has garnered. And I think that comes from two angles, both in the sense that it was obvious that originally the media blackout in the area was trying to suppress this story, which Americans love a good conspiracy. They see a story being repressed, that it's the Streisand effect. They want to see it amplified even more now. Oh, what are you trying to hide? Why are you trying to prevent us from learning about this? This story has garnered, you know, not just national attention, but world attention. The images were so profound of this massive gas cloud rising up through the heartland of the United States. I'm not expecting the president to go to every single train derailment. Again, that would be absurd. But modern politics is a lot about the brand and about the image that you are portraying, because so few Americans genuinely follow the issues. And this particular story has become a national story because of how, frankly, grotesque it is. I mean, pets in neighboring communities 25 to 50 miles away are dropping dead. Young children with asthma or other breathing related issues have been forced to leave their home. The images of the rivers and the streams, the drinking water, it's poisoned. We literally poisoned an American community. And to not receive the kind of attention that I think our leaders should be giving, and then to not only not appear yourself, but to allow your rival who
rival
quite literally contributed to this.
I mean, yes,
to be there first.
He is a Republican candidate for president in 2024. So I guess you could say it that way. But if Donald Trump wants to tie himself to this story, I don't think that's politically beneficial to him. If there is any semblance of some good ad makers out there, you take the 2016 clips, the 2017 clips, the 2018 clips of Donald Trump saying, I'm the best president for deregulation ever. And then you tie it to this story, because that's what led to this instance in East Palestine, Ohio. And so if Donald Trump wants to go with open arms and tie himself to this story more, I mean, by all means, let him do it. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday afternoon by William Walter. We're going to continue this conversation, move in a few more, maybe train-related headlines, and your calls, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. You can also tweet the show, at Dueling Tangents. One more segment left of the day, and then the weekend. We'll be right back. Keep on moving. Keep on moving. Keep on moving. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday afternoon by William Walter. This one goes out to you, Will, because you were singing it, and then you're like, what song is that? And then we get to figure it out.
Ev wasn't even there for that. Like, he didn't even hear that joke, and he just was prepared with the song anyways.
Oh, no. I was prepared for the song. I told Ev to play
it. Oh, you did? Yeah, oh, yeah, all right. I got to give you the shout-out then, Luke. Well done. Well played.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Joined on the Friday afternoon by William Walter. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. You could be like Pat in Milwaukee. Pat, what's on your mind this Friday afternoon?
Hey, well, good afternoon, guys. I just want to correct some information about the visit up to Trump by to East Palestine, Ohio. The Trumpanzee mayor there, the two-faced guy, told MSNBC in an interview a few days before Trump visited that he didn't want Biden to come because it would just be too much of a distraction to have the president there, and they were too busy with cleanup and other concerns. So when Trump shows up, he makes a big display of how Trump is there and why is Biden in Kyiv. It was the most two-faced thing I'd ever seen from a public official in recent days or years. I just could not believe it. A few days before, he literally said, don't come, Biden. You're just going to be a distraction. And then he lambasted Biden for not being there when Trump was there. It was breathtaking. And he should be, you know, pillared for that. He's a Trumpanzee.
So. Well, we appreciate that call, Pat. And yeah, I mean, that is an important aspect as well of presidential visits when tragedy strikes. The cleanup efforts and the security details that is required for the president of the United States to travel to an area like that takes a lot of legwork. There's a lot of things that go into that. And so, yeah, it absolutely would remove resources of first responders, officials, law enforcement, everybody would be diverted for a presidential visit like that. So, yeah, it's really easy for individuals over at Fox News and Newsmax and OAN to act like this is the end of the world, that the president is not there. But it's baffling to me that they don't tie in the story about how the conditions for the rail industry that were rolled back during the Trump administration led to this tragedy. They want to play up this tragedy and act like it's Biden's fault, that this, or that it's Buttigieg's fault, that this train was derailed, when in reality, we know that the conditions in the rail industry, because of efforts directly by rail lobbyists to deregulate the industry that Trump welcomed in his administration, led to these conditions. And so, yeah, I think it's a very important story to be talking about. I don't think it's going to be such a story that it is going to alter the makeup of the 2024 race that we're going to be underway in soon. And
you know this as well as I do, Luke, that reality is not, reality is what you make of it, right? of course the Republicans are going to refrain from the truth of the situation, which is that Trump's deregulation quite literally caused this incident. But it, like you talked about before the break, if Trump wants to tie himself to this story, fine, it'd be really easy to make ads quite literally quoting himself as being, you know, the king of derailment,
there was
or deregulation,
excuse me. There was a press conference that he held in the White House in 2017 with himself next to a giant stack of paper from 1960 and present day, and he was cutting the figurative red tape. Like
cutting the literal red tape. They put red banner across and had him
cut it. It's figurative there still. There wasn't any actual regulations on those pieces of paper. I'm sure they were just reams of empty, blank, white sheets of paper that were just there for a political prop. But it is, in my opinion, it would be way too easy to slam Trump for his actions that led to these circumstances. So if he really wants to tie himself to East Palestine, I get it. He is going to see his own voters, as you pointed out, 70% voting for him in 2020. It is his people. He will absolutely go to a McDonald's and throw out MAGA hats like he was throwing out paper towels responding to a hurricane in Puerto Rico. But it is not, I believe, the political winner that some individuals think that he's going to be able to tie his campaign to. And so I'm saying I welcome it. I welcome Trump tying his name to this story because I do not think it will be an effective strategy for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the people on the right support the deregulation anyways. Won't hurt him in that regard. People on the left are aware that deregulation led to this. It won't hurt. He's not getting their votes anyways, so that won't impact anything. What's going to matter is the vast majority of Americans who aren't very well tuned to the politics of the day. Do they follow it close enough? Do they recognize the hypocrisy? Do they care about the hypocrisy, even if a strong ad campaign is put out mentioning that he was the one who, you know, quote unquote, cut the red tape? I think it's interesting, too, Luke, the article you found noting his press conference from 2017. Do you see any parallels to what's going on with the Wisconsin legislature and all of their tweets over the past couple of weeks with Evers' bill? It's the exact same thing. The stack of Evers' giant bill next to the tiny stack they want to put forth. And they're like, oh, we're trying to make the government easier and all that. And it's so disingenuous.
Oh, yeah. And it's reused political theater. And they fail to mention in all of those posts, it's saying all of the things that you'd miss out on as a government service for the very, very tiny stack that they have. They want a flat tax that would put billion-dollar holes into our state funding, and that would provide less dollars for roads, for schools, for infrastructure, for everything. Pensions, everything would be subject to hits because of a flat tax, which is what the Republican proposal here in Wisconsin is. Will, real quick before the end of the show here, one story about a train that I think is very exciting to talk about. And I think really, really cool that it could be as soon as this year. But a headline over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I just lost it as I pulled it up. I lost the headline.
I got you. Corey Hess. There new Amtrak line connecting Chicago, Milwaukee, and the Twin Cities could start this year. Here's what we know.
There we go. So an Amtrak line between Chicago and Minneapolis throughout Wisconsin could be coming with a $53 million project that's been in the works since 2015. So a little good news story when it comes to trains on that one. Could be in service for a second daily run by the end of this year.
It's going to go through Milwaukee, the Dells, La Crosse. You know, we talked about tourism. The Dells is still one of the kings of the Midwest from a tourist perspective. My parents took us there when I was a child all the time. You can't beat it. America's largest indoor water parks.
There you go. Water park capital of the world. Really appreciate you, Will, joining me on this Friday afternoon. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast, civicmedia.us. Click on the Dueling Tangents tab. We'll be back on Monday at 2 p.m. Have an excellent weekend. See you all then.
Peace out.